embattled head of Rupert Murdoch's British media company has resigned.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Rebecca Brooks is out at News International. The CEO stepped down today in the wake of news that tabloid journalists at the British newspaper News of the World hacked voicemail and phone conversations. Now, her boss, Rupert Murdoch, told his U.S. newspaper, The Wall Street Journal, that he's willing to testify before the British Parliament as part of a government investigation. Archie Bland is foreign editor of London's Independent newspaper. Hi, Archie.
Hi there.
Why now? What was the last straw?
Well, that's one of the weirdest things about this whole affair is that, you know, if Rebecca Brooks had gone a year and a half ago or even 2 weeks ago, it might have made a really profound difference to the chances of the organization recovering. You know, it's very hard to see exactly what's pushed her over the edge. I mean, it may be that this FBI investigation supposedly into the 9/11 people might be one of the factors. It may just be that she felt that she'd had enough, but now that the bid was off the table, there wasn't that much point in her sticking around.
How does this factor, Archie, into the company's business plans in the UK and elsewhere, even here in the United States?
Well, it's pretty profound difference. I mean, one thing is that she's someone who's run newspapers before, you know, who has a profound interest in and love for newspapers, whatever she did with them. The guy who's replacing her is the former chief executive of Sky Italia, which is a broadcasting organization. James Murdoch, Rupert Murdoch's son, is far more interested in that side of their business than he is in newspapers. So it could presage a kind of a move away from their interest in print media. Whether that'll have an effect in the States, I don't know. But, you know, it's certainly going to have a very big impact on what happens in the UK.
Archie Bland, foreign editor at The Independent. Archie, thank you.
All right, thanks very much.
Back here at home, President Obama will address debt ceiling negotiations when he talks to reporters in just a few hours. He and Republicans are far apart on a deal, so the U.S. Senate is getting involved with a contingency plan, what's being called Plan B. It would allow the president to raise the debt ceiling three times through 2012 unless two-thirds of Congress blocks it. Let's see how all this is playing out in the financial markets today. Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large at CBS MoneyWatch, and she's with us live from New York, as she is every Friday. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
So weeks and weeks and weeks of negotiations and nothing yet. What are people around you saying?
You know, I think a lot of Americans are disconnected from the debt ceiling debate. Just yesterday, the security guard at CBS said to me, hey, these guys in Washington, they're fighting about this nonsense. It doesn't help me sell my house or get my brother a job. And I think that's the reality on the ground.
You're pretty entrenched, Jill, in Wall Street. A former trader yourself there in New York. What's the word among insiders about a prospective deal?
Well, you know, traders who make deals on a minute-to-minute basis cannot believe how long this is taking. But they assume a deal will occur because the stakes are too high. They don't care about the details. They want a deal that gets the country through the August 2nd deadline.
Wall Street clearly thinks, Jill, a deal is coming, but things don't look super positive, right? We're still not sure.
Yeah.
When do things get jumpy over there?
I think if there's no deal by the middle of next week, Wall Street starts to get itchy, and you'll know very quickly because the panic trade will be on. Stocks and bonds will fall. Gold will rise.
So trading, is it built in, though, do you think, in Wall Street right now, these talks?
I think the talks are built in, and if there is no deal, it will be a calamity in the financial markets.
Well, let's hope it doesn't get that far. All right, Jill Schlesinger at CBS Money Watch. Thanks.
Great to be with you.
Have a great weekend. Let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now. In Europe, the shares in London are up just a tad, but in Paris and Frankfurt, shares are down. The Commerce Department just reported a little while ago consumer prices dropped last month thanks to a big drop in gas prices. Wall Street yesterday, markets lost some ground. The Nasdaq tumbled more than 1%. The Dow gave back 54 points to close at 12,437.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at IBM.com/engines. And by Putnam Investments, recognizing the value of financial advice since 1937. Putnam Investments, a world of investing.
In Germany today, air travel won't be quite as polluting. Lufthansa's become the first commercial airline to use biofuel for daily flights. From the Sustainability Desk, Marketplace's Eve Tro reports on what that means for the future of green travel.
To be clear, this is an experiment. Biofuel-powered jets won't crisscross the world anytime soon. Lufthansa is using a bioblend on one short route, Hamburg to Frankfurt, 8 flights a day for 6 months. Lots of airlines have done test flights that show biofuels work and they're safe. Martin Rieken at Lufthansa says daily flights will answer other questions.
Is it difficult to get the fuel? What is the technical impact on the engines? And the price of biofuel at the end will also determine success of it.
The bioblend costs more than double the price of regular jet fuel. Lufthansa says it's made from sources that don't compete with food crops. The German government chipped in about a third of the project's $10 million price tag. Steve Lott is with the Air Transport Association. He says the jump from testing to daily flights has gone faster than expected.
If you asked somebody 5 years ago, would we have commercial flights operating every day with biofuels, I don't think anyone would have believed it.
It's really huge.
Helene Becker follows the travel industry for investment bank Dahlman Rose. She says the airlines have good reason to switch to biofuels as fast as they can. Those prices are going down, while the price of traditional jet fuel is going up.
It's the biggest percentage of total operating expenses, number one. And number two, it's the most volatile and unpredictable.
She says a steady supply of biofuel from renewable sources would help airlines better predict their costs. And that could mean less wild swings in price every time you buy a plane ticket. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, Gentleman's Quarterly Magazine has come up with a list of the 40 worst-dressed cities in the country. A couple of those included on the list, Portland, Oregon, where the magazine says you might see someone wearing a purple cape at a trendy hotel. Which city is number one? Boston. GQ says, with its baggy jeans, Sam Adams flip-flops, and hair gel, Boston is, quote, like America's bad taste storm sewer. Their words, not ours. We love Boston. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles, number two on that list, by the way. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Know your customers. It's basic. So for American firms going to China, here's a tutorial.
You know, a lot of these are migrants. They'll move from these cities, striking it big. They've got their college education, and it's kind of empowering. And so we're trying to capture that in terms of how we are positioning Chevrolet.
I'm Kai Rizdal. What you need to know about the biggest market on the planet. It's our series, The 5-Year Plan, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.